Welcome to Beautiful Mess, the podcast that explores life's messiness. My name is Isabel Pollan, and I am so excited to have you here. I'm going to be having conversations with entrepreneurs, with mental health advocates, parents, leaders, and many, many more. Our goal? To ignite your curiosity and to spark crucial conversations, as well as offering practical strategies for navigating life's mess. Together, in this community, let's find strength, let's find joy, and let's embrace the beautiful mess that is life. So, thank you for being here. Please subscribe and enjoy this next episode of A Beautiful Mess, Untangled Together. So here we are, Buddha Girls. I am so grateful to have you here. Thank you very, very much for being my first ever guest on Beautiful Mess.
Hi, Isabel. Thank you very much for inviting me. This is my first ever podcast interview, and I'm very honored that you have given me this opportunity to have this conversation with you and to share things that I want to share with your audience.
Well, I mean, what an amazing thing that this is your first ever podcast. We were just chatting before we hit record just now, and I didn't know that. So that makes it even more special for me, certainly. And let's recognize that we have 30 minutes. I'm keeping these conversations as succinct as I can, even though I'd love to talk to you for at least 2 hours. I'm sure we'd have enough to cover in that time. Let's get straight to you. And hear a little bit, first of all, about you and your work and where you've come from in the world. And then I'll take the conversation, steer the conversation more towards the Beautiful Mess conversation as well.
Thank you. So my name is Buddha Girls. If you wonder where it comes from, it's a Kazakh name. So Originally I'm from Kazakhstan, and I have been living in London since 2006. And right now I'm many things, to be honest. Like you, I refuse to be put in a box, and I don't like to be put in a box. So I describe myself as an alchemist, a maverick, a disruptor, a perfumer, a business consultant specializing in sustainability strategy development, an emerging entrepreneur. I'm also a perfumer, a writer, a poet, a designer, and a parent, of course.
How incredible. What an amazing array of descriptions and words you've used there. And yes, we are both our children go to the same school, which is how I met this incredible lady. And we share that very central theme of parenting. I'd like to explore now a little bit more about, there's so much I want to pick out of that string of pearls that you just gave us. The one thing I'm really curious about is the sustainability piece and how that relates to your work. And you've always been very entrepreneurial, clearly, with your poetry, etc. Can you tell us a little bit more about where your work started and how it progressed?
Do you mean my work in sustainability field in particular?
Yes, please. Yeah. Yes.
It started many years ago when I worked in banking. When I started working in banking, almost by accident, because I didn't intend to go there, because I actually graduated with a degree in international relations, and I had a dream or an ambition at the time to become a diplomat and change the world. The political field, so to speak.
Right.
So then I ended up in banking, but I was still doing very much stuff that actually was changing the world, and I was specializing in risk management. And my career has developed in such a way that I found myself in the sustainability field before, I guess, it became trendy and fashionable. Mm-hmm. And because I was still very much driven by that innate desire to make a difference and to change the world, I found myself in a place which very much aligned with my own values, and that motivated me to know more about this field. And I, over the years, I learned how to guide the businesses on a sustainable path, how to guide them on changing their operating models in a way that they actually create a lasting positive value for all the stakeholders. And I've left my corporate career by now. I'm now helping other businesses, and I'm particularly fond of helping small and medium enterprises that may not necessarily have the resources and budgets to have either an in-house sustainability team or hire one of the big four consultancies. So I'm very much driven by the desire, by the passion to help them make the difference.
How tremendous. Well, obviously we will have a link to where people can find you, but of course when we put the episode out there, where can people find you? You have a website clearly, and you have a LinkedIn profile that's very impressive as well.
I have a LinkedIn profile. I must admit that my website is still in development, so watch this space.
Right. Lovely. Yeah. Super. Well, that's even better because people will be watching this space. And I'm curious, one question about that you've shared with us, and thank you for sharing that. Where did that drive, do you believe, come from when you were very young? You mentioned wanting to change the world and use your incredible skill clearly for language and international affairs, as you said. Where did that come from, do you think?
I must admit, I never consciously asked myself this question. I've always accepted this inner drive for granted. Now that you have asked me this question, I wonder whether I may have taken it from my parents, and particularly from my father. He was very entrepreneurial, and he was totally a self-made man. Without going off track, I'll just say that I have a very interesting family history because of the place where my ancestors lived, and also because of the time where when my grandparents and great-grandparents, particularly when they lived, they had to go through a lot of turbulence or mess, I guess, in their lives. And my father was a very good storyteller. Wow. And he told me a lot of stories about my ancestry and how it also fit in the historic context of the times they lived in. And I gather that this is probably where I got it from, unconsciously.
Right. How wonderful. And it fascinates me when I ask people that question in my work, how when we don't necessarily ask that of ourselves, as you said, we really then get very curious about that line, that lineage of the ability to tell story, but also how that clearly impacted you and your entrepreneurial journey, as you said. Thank you for sharing that. So I am now, as we chatted about before we came on officially here to record, I am going to steer the conversation now. I mean, there's so much in there that I'm sure my listeners, our listeners and you and me would be able to unpack and really find out a lot more about. But for the sake of time, I'm going to steer it towards the lens of beautiful mess and what that means to you. You've been incredibly kind in saying that having listened to the trailer, there were lots of things that resonated for you on this podcast and the community that we're building here. So yes, the next question, the next prompt is, what does beautiful mess mean to you and why?
It's actually the epitome of my life, admittedly, right now. It's quite a mess, and it has been a mess with a varying degree over the last 3 years of my life. But I must admit that the phrase that you shared has made me realize that it is actually beautiful, and something beautiful is created out of it every day, even though I may not realize it on a particular day. So I'm grateful to you for sharing that phrase. So I have borrowed it for my vocabulary, and because this is how I can describe my life.
Right. Thank you so much for saying that. I'm so happy, happy, happy to hear that it resonated like that for you, and that you've added it to your vocabulary is a real honor. I want to ask you, what is it about the combination of those two words? What is it now? You describe that every day you discover something beautiful from the mess. Would you be happy to share an example of that?
Yes, I will try, and I'll probably explain a little bit how I have come to this realization.
Please, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
I must reveal to you and to your audience that the last 3 years of my life in particular have been quite transformational, following some life-changing traumatic events in my life. And as I have already mentioned, they have been very messy. And I have struggled. And in a way, some of these struggles continue. But at the same time, the things that I had to go through about 3-4 years ago became a trigger for my self-rediscovery and a big change in my system of values and in my outlook on life in general. And you may have heard this term, post-traumatic growth. Now I understand what it means, because what I'm going through now is, in fact, this post-traumatic growth. I wish, though, that people didn't have to go through traumatic events to experience that, although I do understand that sometimes we human beings probably have to be pushed really into a corner to realize what we are really capable of and shed our last fears. So, therefore, my outlook on life changed not so long ago because before that, the way I looked at the events in my life and the struggles I was experiencing was like, okay, right now it's a total mess, and I have to deal with it, and when I deal with it, then everything will be fine. And then I will do the things that I really want to do, right, and really want to enjoy. And it wasn't that long ago that I realized that the life will always be a mess. It will never be perfect and trouble-free. And the trick or the secret is not wait until the time when the mess clears. It's to learn to live in this mess, to accept it, and I would dare to say to enjoy it. And an example of this would be, let me have a moment to think about it. So, for example, I have had to learn a lot about myself while parenting my children. And my children, especially one of them, has been, one of my children has been having his struggles because he's neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been tough for me as a parent to learn to understand the way his brain works, to understand his needs, and to make sure that his environment has adjustments to help him thrive.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of this experience, despite its toughness, has been that he's opened up a completely new world for me, which has also helped me learn a lot about myself and inadvertently make me a champion and advocate for diversity and inclusion now, not just because of the trendy kind of slogan and the trendy movement, but because I live and breathe kind of these values every day with him. And I'm very passionate now about building the world that children like him, the kind of the new generations, they don't have to fit the world, but actually the world fits around them.
You know, I said to you before we officially hit record how very, very lucky I feel to have a guest as my first guest who, without meaning to sound linear about it, ticks all the boxes I could imagine. And I, as I've said, as we've both said, we don't like boxes, but really does include everything that I've desired to have in this community, in these conversations. And, you know, that being everything you've so kindly shared with us, parent, entrepreneur, incredible diverse background. And now this arena with your son around neurodiversity and how passionate you are about that. And I'm so grateful to you for bringing that into this conversation, Buttigieg, so early on in the series, because I think you may or may not know that I also was diagnosed with ADHD last August, very much later diagnosis than your son, obviously. These are conversations I'm going to carry on in this podcast. There's a particular lady called Leanne Maskell who's doing exceptional work with particularly now children. She has ADHD Works, which is a whole body of work around ADHD and particularly ADHD within the workplace. And now she's starting to really champion and always has championed, but is now explicitly championing children children. And as you know, she came to our school in February and spoke to the children and spoke to the parents and teachers. And she's in the House of Parliament as we record this, really, really pushing for a new invite for screening at primary schools for children. So thank you for sharing that. And I think what really struck me when you were speaking was so much, but specifically the connection between the trigger for self-exploration. I think that's what you said. And I think that's such a beautiful way of putting it, because you're right. Life is continually going to give us these messy, messy times. And that's not ever really going to end. The way we respond to the mess can change. And it sounds like from what you've said, you have already gleaned so much wisdom and insights and growth. And I love that you mentioned post-traumatic growth, because that is a key phrase for us to remember. So there was so much gold in what you said. And I'm now going to ask you to shine a light on the part where you said to me just now that, you know, you initially felt like, oh, well, once I've dealt with this, everything will be okay. Can you tell me if you can remember if there was a specific moment where you had that realization that actually the messiness wasn't going anywhere. It was how you responded to it. Can you share that with us?
Yes, I'll be glad to. So throughout this period, the last 3-4 years in particular, there have been a lot of ups and downs. And some of my downs or down periods were quite dark. There have been times when I felt I was at the bottom of a very deep pit and I would never come out of it. Kind of those, you know, moments of despair where you lose your purpose, you lose everything really. And you, it's not a place where you would like to be really. But I've had them. And I'm sure a lot of people have had them. And it was during one of those times where, when I felt so surrounded by darkness and I really didn't see my way out of it. And I guess I was on the verge of almost giving up when I went to a spiritual practice and there was a group meditation. During that meditation, it came to me all of a sudden that no one will bring joy into my life on the plate, that it's up to me to find joy. It's my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And that it was quite one, I think, of many turning points on that journey of mine that I have been through. In that moment gave me some strength, I think, to try to consciously create those moments of joy in my life, something that I can hang on to.
Thank you so much. That is so, so valuable. I feel so lucky to have heard it from you, and I know our listeners will find that share immensely moving as well, very moving. So thank you for sharing it. We only have a very short amount of time left. I knew when I said to myself that it was going to be 30 minutes that I would regret it.
Just when we have warmed up, right?
I know. Yeah, it does feel like that. So I would ask you please to leave us, if you would, with a 10-second offer. This comes from a series of videos that I made on various platforms, mainly LinkedIn. And I did about almost 100 of them, 10-second video offers to people, anything that I thought would be a value or something that people might resonate with. So I'm going to ask you in 10 seconds, please, before we finish, to offer something to our listeners that they can take away from this incredible conversation. Off you go.
I want to share my most favorite quote. A thing of beauty is a joy forever.
Beautiful. That was 8 seconds. That was incredible. And where is the quote from?
It's from John Keats. Mm. And we didn't get to talk about my other passion, which is perfumery. But one of the things that brings joy to me is beauty in all its forms. Mm-hmm. So I think this is my most favorite quote. I have it everywhere, in my notebooks, in my diary, everywhere.
It's a beautiful quote. And I'm going to invite you back. Obviously, we have to have you back on the podcast so that you could talk about that.
I'll be happy to.
Thank you so, so much for being here and for sharing your incredible story on so many levels with our listeners. I can't wait to get it out there to our audience, and thank you very, very much for spending this time with me, Buttergas. All the very best with your work. I'm going to make sure that we have links to everything you're doing, all the incredible work that you're creating, so that people know where to find you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Isabel. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this beautiful mess community. Please like and subscribe to the podcast and share it with anyone that you think would enjoy or benefit from these conversations. Take care of yourself. See you soon.